Get ready, y'all. We're enrolling in Easton Academy. So grab your wands, grab your broomsticks, and of course, don't forget your cream puffs. This week, we're tackling Mashle, Magic, and Muscle. Welcome, anime fans and foodies, to Anime Bento. Each week, we review a different anime, and we give you some fun recipes to go along with it. Joining me this week is...
Hey guys, it's Seth again. I've actually decided to add a social media account this time around, so get ready, buckle in, don't touch that power button, because it's time for a Sethware update.
I love the full intro. It's more grand than I've ever had. I'm really excited to talk about this anime with you. I don't know if you're a big magic guy, though, but I was like, man, maybe Seth is going to like this one. So I'm excited for your opinions.
Absolutely. I've got a lot of them.
Nice. this week, though, we have some delicious items for you to try out while you watch the show. First up, we have Mash's Cream Puffs. Well, I said that weird. First off, we had Mash's Cream Puffs. This is a classic cream puff recipe for our main man, Mash. But let us know what filling you prefer in your cream puff. For our cocktail this week, we have the Bamboo Yeah. This melon take on a Moscow Mule features Midori, vodka, lime juice, and ginger beer. Hopefully, this will help you win your next Duello match. And for our mocktail this week, we have the Divine Visionary Fizz. It's peach, pineapple, and mango juice with coconut water and topped with ginger beer. If you make any of these, please tag us at Anime Bento Pod. Now, let's jump into the show. Imagine a world where everyone has magic except for one guy, Mash Burndead. Mash lives in a realm where your social standing is determined by your magical powers. But he has an even better secret weapon. Absolute massive muscles. You would find that more funny if you could read it because it's spelled out abs, everyone. It's my little pun. But when his peaceful life with his adoptive father is in jeopardy, Mash must enroll in the prodigious Easton Magic Academy and become a divine visionary. The only problem is he can't use a single spell. Mashle, Magic, and Muscle aired in 2023 and is available to stream on Crunchyroll, Hulu, and Disney+. Spoiler warnings, everyone. The truth is revealed ahead. This section contains spoilers that will reveal character backstories and future plot points. Continue only if you're ready to face the truth. Okay, Seth, we're in it. We're finally going to get to talk about Mashle, Magic, and Muscle. So what are your thoughts about it?
So this was a very interesting one. I mean, coming from Blue Lock, which is so like engaging like from start to finish and so... action-y, this one felt a lot different than I thought it was going to be. You know, I hear Magic and Muscle, I'm thinking, ooh, intense fight scenes incoming, like I'm so excited. And then it's just kind of like every different episode had a different little element to it. Some of them were action-y, some of them were fights, some of them were just small tasks they had to overcome. So it's kind of interesting going through it. I will say, from episode one, looking at the art style and just seeing like the lines on the face, I was thinking very Zatch Bell, and I'm thinking, ooh, this is exciting. I was wrong. Not on the excitement part, but that it was nothing like Zatch Bell. This is very much more of a like silly, goofy anime than I thought it would be. I thought it was more of like a One Punch Man style of dominance where, you know, he just destroys everything with one punch. And so I'm thinking, oh, how interesting, like another one of these, which I'm sorry, you know, I did not finish One Punch Man, so grill me in the comments if you need to, but I'll try to get through it. There was some entertainment added throughout each episode, and so a lot of it was just like a silly little challenge that he come up with the most creative way to overcome, and I just loved it. But this is just a teenage boy. He just loves his dad, and he loves cream puffs. You know, everything that he does in his life revolves around these two things. So every episode, like I said, had his own problem or challenge. He had to overcome it. And it was kind of funny watching some of the ways that he did it. But we'll talk a little bit more about it when we get into there. So really excited for that.
Nice. Oh, man. Zatch Bell. I remember Zatch Bell. I believe it was like on Toonami is when.
Yes.
Or that's at least where I watched it. Oh, man. What a throwback. Just make me think about that show. That and my barber will be upset with you. Every time I go get my haircut, he is constantly asking me if I had finished One Punch Man. One Punch Man I have not. And he's just like, you got to finish that show. It's so great. I just, there's so much anime I like to watch. It's kind of on the
I mean, I enjoyed the first 5 minutes of it, I think, as far as I got. So I will definitely try to give it a better attempt once I get more into it. Maybe I'll, I mean, I've heard lots of good things about the side characters in that one, so maybe I'll give it another try.
Yeah, I need to, like, just power through it. I feel like it's going to be one of those shows where I just... I might wait until it's all over, though. I think it only has maybe one more season left. But I know the people who love it are diehard fans of it.
And they love it.
Yeah. But we're not talking about Zatch Bell or One Punch Man yet.
Yeah.
We're talking about Mashle.
We have their love child.
Yeah. For me, I instantly fell in love with this show. It was recommended to me by a friend last year. He was telling me, oh, if you love Harry Potter, it's going to be a fun take on Harry Potter. And I do love Harry Potter. So I was, I said, okay, I'm going to watch this. And I just powered through it like nothing. It was, that kind of show that I really enjoy, which is, I feel like Demon Slayer has this too, where you have a normal scene and then suddenly we go into chibi form and we kind of have a little comical moment and then it cuts back. And the scene can be very serious and a lot of action's happening. People are getting injured or blood spraying everywhere. And then they'll cut to chibi forms and have this little funny moment. And then they'll go back to the action. And I really love that kind of style. The main character, Matt, she's just, I enjoy a character that only has one focus and there's nothing really else. He's family, friend, cream puff oriented. It's just that. If you're not in any of those other categories, you're his enemy, basically. The other thing I really enjoyed about this show, and it would have annoyed me watching it week to week, but being able to binge it straight through, it didn't annoy me as much, is the fact that the episodes really end on cliffhangers. I don't know if you noticed that. They'll start a journey in the end half an episode, and it will just end, and then it will finish off in the next episode.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting because, you know, obviously most anime we watch, it's like one episode covers a whole entire plot line. Like, it's just all that in one episode, and then it's like you kind of cliffhang to the next one. But this one very much seems like the first half of the episode resolves something, and the second half starts a new one, so that you just, it does have some continuity in that.
It was just, it's so interesting. I don't know if I would have been annoyed with that watching it week to week, because it is, it does feel like I'm always in half of an episode. Because you're ending ending the previous episode in the first half, then you're beginning the next episode in the second half. It was just something about it, though, watching it straight through, I really enjoyed.
You see, that made it kind of hard for me, too, when I was trying to mark down some of my favorite moments from it. I was going through and I was like, I'm pretty sure, like, chronologically, that was episode 4, but I'm like, that's not what episode 4's description says. I'm so confused because I'd have to click on episode 4 and I'm like, no, this isn't it. And then halfway through, I'm like, oh, no, it does switch to that part. So,
oh, yeah. You're like, when did they fight the spider? You're like, did that start in 3 or that started 4? It ended 5? Where are we? Yeah, it's just, it's great. I guess we'll just jump into the story because I do have some criticisms of it in the beginning half that I did not. I won't say I didn't enjoy it. I will just say threw me off in the beginning. So let's talk a little bit about the story and the arc.
So I will say, like, the story of it, I think, honestly, they set it up beautifully. Like, the first two episodes kind of building up to what's going on in the world, I think they did a great job of that. I want to say, like, maybe the next 4 or 5 episodes after that were very confusing because it's just kind of like, oh, one little problem here, one little problem. But it's just, like, no longer kind of in that main story. It's just getting to know the characters, really. I think it's introducing the side characters is a big point of it, kind of introducing the plot of it. But I would say, I mean, yeah, we did have those little bleed over episodes, but to me, it didn't feel like there's a lot of continuity going on throughout it. So, I mean, you're looking at it and it seems like this whole episode's purpose is to just introduce a new character. You know, maybe there's some little problem that he gets to solve, but the problems that he faces early on, they have no effect on what's going on. I mean, all it does, again, is just like bringing a new side character, bringing a new friend. And that was one thing that I did kind of enjoy about it is every time he fights somebody, he's like, so are we friends now? And if they're like, I mean, yeah, he's like, cool. But it's like, if they're like, no, he's like, aw. He's just very, just, oh, okay, whatever. But it's like he did overcome whatever problems he needed to. It wasn't like he really struggled with any of the problems. That's why I kind of always thought of it as like One Punch Man-esque, just because he's going to dominate whatever problem it is. I didn't see like any episode where I was really genuinely kind of trying to figure out if he was going to do it or if he's going to struggle. It seemed like he was able to just overcome anything. There was some good filler humor, so it wasn't all, you know, all action, which, you know, some people like the filler humor, some people like a little more action, but I think they stretched it pretty good with an episode beyond the humor point. So I don't think there was any episode that I think was just like a filler goofy kind of episode. Like they all had a little bit of significance.
Oh, for me, it just... I guess we'll start off with my problem with the show in the beginning is that I did not know who the enemy was until kind of towards the end of the show. Because we start off and, oh man, let me remember his name. It's Brad Coleman, the kind of lieutenant magic person or whatever, the sheriff guy.
Yeah, he confused the heck out of me.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, he's plotting against MASH. He wants to kill MASH because MASH doesn't have any magical powers, so he is our enemy. And then episode two, it's like, oh no, he actually wants MASH to succeed. So I don't know why we had that whole first episode where he's trying to kill him. Then we have that teacher guy who wants MASH to fail the entrance exam. And you're like, oh, he's going to be plotting against MASH this whole season. We never see him again. He just kind of disappears after that.
He's just a jerk.
Yeah. And I'm like, you're here for one. You're very menacing in one episode and you don't ever come back. And then we have the bully guy whose father is like a governor or something like that. And they're friends with the vice principal. And we're like, I'm like, oh, he's going to be the problem for MASH. And again, one episode and
nope, one episode.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, what are we dealing with here? When is this story going to really, like, are we going to follow anyone? Is this going to be one-offs or whatnot? So that was kind of my own main problem. We didn't really get to, I love a show where I can just hit the ground running and like episode one is like, this is our journey. We're going to go, we're doing this. And the plot is clear to me. This one MASH wants to be the divine visionary, but I was just like, who's gonna be the one who's stopping him? What is gonna be his hindrance? And it just felt like, oh, all these people I thought were gonna be it turned out to never show up ever again in the show.
Right.
The other thing is the humor hits with me. I love that stupid humor of when he becomes super derpy and just he's so dense, he doesn't really understand what's going on or
cues.
Yeah, when people are talking to him or explaining long things to him, he just zones out or he falls asleep because it's just too much. His brain gets overloaded a lot. That's kind of the character I like. And while watching this show, especially my second watch through of it, I realized that, oh, maybe this story isn't MASH's story in a sense that MASH is really indestructible, like you said. There's no challenge that he couldn't defeat. You don't really see him sweat it out against anyone. He knows he can take on anything. But I was like, oh, but the side characters. We see so much growth in these side characters that learn a lot about themselves or about friendship or about loyalty and other stuff that the growth I feel that a main character would usually have is happening with our side characters.
No, I think I agree because that's something I had to really kind of sit back and check myself on because obviously, you know, I think of character development as like, how's your main character developing? But thinking of all my other favorite animes, some of those like really exciting points is when those side characters kind of hit that next level up point. So then I didn't think about this show in that way at first. I'm just thinking, well, MASH is already capable of anything he needs to do. So like, what am I waiting for? But then, you know, you start to get to those arcs where a little farther in the story, they're all hitting these big, like, level up things and, like, overcoming it all. And I'm just like, now, wait a second. Maybe that was the point of it, just to kind of highlight these side characters that they really had no significance. They really had no, you know, like, prestigiousness in their school. They're just kind of bland and ordinary. But then MASH comes along and they kind of started to find some life and got some excitement in what they were doing.
It's just, I already feel MASH is the perfect character. He has a great moral compass. He doesn't waver from anything. He doesn't turn his back on his friends. He doesn't do anything selfish. He actually puts other people's needs before his own, even though his life and his family are at risk. It's just, okay, we have someone who's basically indestructible, who's super nice and awesome and protective of everyone. Normally, I'd be very annoyed about that. I mean, his only downfall is his, I guess, the social awkwardness, like you said, or his overlove of cream puffs. It's just his only real downside. So it's really great that they could surround him with characters that are flawed in a way, but not too flawed that we could see their growth. So it was really cool. Really cool thing to see. It is something definitely new to me. I've never really kind of watched anime that had like that kind of thing go on. Mm-hmm. Especially where I didn't hate the main character. There's been animes where the main character is like so overpowered in the beginning that you're like, what am I even doing here? What are we watching? But how about we just dive into some of the characters right now?
Yeah, so I think we've already hit a bit on MASH, but I mean, honestly, it's hard to just describe MASH until you watch the show because he's very much like this socially awkward person. He doesn't understand the social cues. He's very monotone, very like one-track minded, and everything that he does is just, he has a little spice of humor to it. So even in like these very intensive moments, he'll sprinkle that humor and just like throw it in because he doesn't realize he's genuinely in a fight or he doesn't realize he's like genuinely in danger. He's just like, wow, like, that actually kind of hurt a little bit. That's rude. Like, little random comments like that all the time just crack me up because he doesn't seem to take anything serious, but at the same time, it's like he's already doing what he needs to do. And so that's the hard part about him is trying to figure out what his level of understanding is or what his goal is because you really can't tell through half of the fights what's going on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew we were dealing. I kind of figured who we were dealing with from episode one when he forgets how a door works or he's like, is this a push one or a pull one? With the door that half it doesn't happen as often as I want. Yeah, I wanted more of the door. It comes here every now and then where he's like, oh, is this a push or pull one?
Even when he got to like the puppet master later on, it's just like he's kind of like thinking about the door and it's like this, he's going into a very intense moment, but he's like, oh gosh, is this a push or a pull door? And next thing you know, just like boom, the whole door's exploded. He's like, I'm sorry, I thought it was a push door.
And you watch that and you're like, okay, I kind of get who this guy is. He's he is our comic relief. I feel like MASH is the comic relief of the show. Everyone else is, well, it's hard. There are some really funny characters here. Everyone's really good. MASH, though, brings it up a notch. Probably, he's definitely in my top main characters. Just that personality and his denseness. It's just, it's too lovable. And like, who doesn't love a guy who has, like, a secret stash of cream puffs in their jacket? This is just perfect.
The amount of times that would crack me up, just like, you know, they're in, what, potions class or something, and they're trying to go through these very intensive potions, and he comes up with a cream puff, and they're like, how did you even? He's like, I don't know. Would you like one?
Yeah, is that the one where they're trying to make that radish? It's yeah. Like, that was, like, one of my favorite moments, where they're trying to make the radish. They're doing a spell, and they got to turn this radish into a potion of some sort. And every time MASH makes the potion, it turns into a cream puff. And they'll be watching him intently, telling him exactly what to do. And at the end, it'll just be another cream puff. I mean, I've never...
That gave me a lot of laughs.
I've never wanted cream puffs more. I didn't even realize I liked cream puffs until this.
I know, but I'm like, I need to have a cream puff right now.
Yeah, it's just... Again, yeah, MASH is so great, and I think, you know, as we talk through the rest of these characters, he'll pop in and out. I know he's our main man. There's not really much to say about him. He is super OP in a sense, but not in a bad way, I would say.
No, just not a lot of development. Like, he's already where you'd expect him to be at the end of the season kind of thing.
But on that note, let's talk about his roommate at the academy, Finn Ames.
So Finn, I feel like, is one who, he was probably the most by his side the whole season. I think there's lots of good things to Finn, but he started off as kind of a very, I'll say like malleable. He could go either way. Like, you couldn't tell if he's going to be a good guy or a bad guy based on what was going on in it. So that's kind of interesting how he introduced that way. But then once MASH just consistently stood up for him and just said, yeah, you know, you're my friend. He's like, what do you mean? Like, I don't have friends. He's like, no, we're friends. He's like, What? So the next thing you know, after he stands up for him a couple times, now Finn becomes one of his most loyal friends. And I loved seeing that and just the growth that Finn got alongside Mash. I think that was very good for his character.
Finn, for me, had the growth of the, you know, the we have to stick together or friendship is our bond kind of character that I really loved. When we find out that Finn was being, I don't know, blackmailed or convinced to burn all of Mash's books in the beginning, and then he suddenly turns on that and says he can't do it anymore because Mash called him his friend. And it's really cool. Mash considered Finn his friend because Finn, I don't know why Finn was surprised about that because Finn was being super nice to him. He would let him borrow his books and he let him borrow his broom too. So he does friendly things. So I don't know why.
I think it's just because Finn didn't have friends. Like he just wasn't used to friends. He didn't know what that meant.
Oh, it does. Well, yeah, I guess so. Finn didn't really, we don't know much about Finn, though he has been at the school longer.
Yeah.
Which also, it confused me in the beginning too, because I thought, oh, is Finn a year higher than Mash? But I guess Mash just comes in the middle of their semester. So they're just the same class. Or I think they're sophomores or something like that. But yeah, Finn is just, I don't know how to describe. I wish Finn was stronger. I guess that's my only thing.
Yeah, I wish he was more of a fighter. I mean, we talk about the fighters in the show, and like obviously Mash is number one. Dot ends up being quite the fighter. There's a couple more later on that start to become fighters, but Finn just kind of exists, and he just kind of does what he needs to get by. I mean, you don't really see big action points for Finn.
I do wish Finn was just had a little more power for someone who's been there for a while already. But in that sense, it's probably a good match with Mash. They're both on the lower end of the spectrum of magical power. Well, Mash has no magic power, so I guess that's sad for Finn that he's on the same level. But I really do hope that, I guess my only wish for Finn later on is that Mash's strength or more courage rubs off on Finn. I wish Finn had more of the I don't know how to describe it. I guess the more running into danger kind of sense or the more fearlessness that Mash has. I really feel like that would help with Finn is lack of skill. But why don't we talk about someone who has a little more fight in them? Now let's bring up Dot Barrett.
This was such an interesting character. I just felt like I couldn't get a read on him at first. He kind of started off as this like overly cocky ladies man is like what he wanted to be. Like he's like all about the ladies. And I'm like, man, every anime has one of those. And so like, let's give him a chance. And so I'm just thinking, starts off very arrogant, but then he ends up in that situation where he wanted to protect somebody. And he's going to take these magic hits. And they're like, you know what? If you can take 10 of these, then I'll leave you guys alone. I'll leave her alone. And so he's going to do it. And so he starts off just taking these hits. And they're pretty tough hits when you're watching it. It's just normal person wouldn't be able to go through that. But then he just sat there taking them all in. And then kind of hits that tipping point. And then that's where Mash kind of starts in. But I thought it was interesting just like seeing his guts to it. You don't get a lot of side characters with guts. Like whether it's for the right reason or not, he just really came in and was like, no, like I can handle it. I can do whatever. And so I did like his kind of confidence coming out of the gate there.
I like him way better than I like Finn. I wish I wish he was Mash's roommate in a way. I love that he has this honor in him. I guess it's a chivalry kind of thing? Chivalryness?
Yeah.
Chivalryness a word? Maybe not. Chivalrous, I don't know. I'm gonna stop trying. But Dot's code of honor to protect, I can't even remember her name in the Spider Forest. But even when he felt betrayed, he still was like, well, we gotta help. We gotta do something. He is he's a really great fighter. I would expect him to be in the top of the class, but he seems to be another character that's just on this outer ring of people.
Well, he seems to have like no desire to display himself or no desire to improve himself. It's just like he knows who he is. He knows what he can do. He knows what he's going to do and who he's going to protect. It's just he doesn't really seem like he wants to become number one in the class. Like he has his own goals, which that's good. I mean, he's ambitious in his own sense, but it's not to become one of them divine justices, is it?
No, I think, I mean, I guess it feels like he just wants a date. Maybe they all want to be one, but... I don't know. I feel like he just wants a date. And I think he's the perfect amount of, I guess we always, you always see those in the anime. There's like that one little like pervy character. Yeah. And I think he has a good balance of it. He's not like overly that way. I would say he's not Mineta level for those people watching My Hero Academia. So he's just a good balance of that. He's a great fighter. I honestly, when I first saw him in that episode with the spiders, I thought he was a one-off character. I thought maybe we'll never see him again. He is a really great addition to the group.
Thought he brought a level of energy that they needed, because we know Finn's not bringing the energy. You know, if we're going to keep on the Finn hate, let's keep it strong. We know he's not bringing any of the energy, and so it's very important for Dot to kind of step into that energy role.
Wow, when thinking about what you just... You're right, though. Finn and Mash give low energy. So you need someone who is, like, who is very hyper. I mean, okay, just all the characters. Well, we got, like, Mash, Finn, Lemon, Lance. They're all low energy people.
So I guess if you think My Hero-wise, this is your Bakugo. This is the guy that's going to, like, scream at you, rip your head off, and cuss you up and down. Like, that's just who he is.
Oh, you're so right. He does give Bakugo energy, but just without the... He doesn't want to be your rival. Let's talk about our female character of the group, who I have mixed feelings about her. There are episodes where I enjoy her. There are episodes where I'm just like, "Why? What are you doing here?
Why are you here?"
Yeah, so let's talk about Lemon Irvine.
So Lemon is a good tie-in to Dot, because once you get a little farther, Dot is very much like, I'm going to marry Lemon. Like, this is the girl. I'm going to marry her. And so then even when he's getting some of his fights, there's that one lady wherever they're at in the underground, and she's like, do you think I'm pretty? He said, well, I'm already going to get married. I'm already spoken for. She's like, oh, you're in a relationship? He's like, well, no, not yet, but I'm going to marry her. So he just keeps on his girl crazy, but Lemon is that girl. And so Dot is very much like, yes, I'm going to marry Lemon. But then when you get to it, Lemon's like, nope, I'm marrying Mash. And so it is just a little weird love triangle thing that has no significance because Mash doesn't have any emotion. But Lemon was kind of one of those interesting characters to where it's like, she started off almost seemingly devious, like she had some ulterior motive, and I'm just kind of thinking, what's going on with her? Like, when they're starting that Mace thing, like, I'll go with you. So then thinking, oh, does she have like a secret plan? Like, she wants to ruin him so she could be number one, but she just existed. I mean, there's just not a lot that she really does. She becomes a damsel in distress there. It's just, there's a whole rescue arc for Lemon. And so I'm just kind of looking at her as a character, and I really can't think of much that she's done.
She does feel like she is there sometimes only to get into danger. In the beginning, she's the one who is hired by that teacher to stop Mash from getting through the exam. But she can't even really protect herself through it, because after he abandons her, she can't fight off the monsters herself. So that questions how much magic power she has. And she's also the one who gets puppet hypnotized and leads them into the the secret base. Lemon, sometimes it's just like, Lemon, what are you bringing to the table? What do you got for us today? And it's just, I don't know, she's just funny because she loves Mash and he doesn't. She is the Dot, the female version of Dot, where she just has decided her and Mash are gonna get married. So
but then Mash is only marrying his cream puffs, like.
Yeah, Mash doesn't have any desire to get married.
No, I think she brings this very much like a Princess Peach essence to her, to where it's like, she's gonna get into the danger no matter what. Like, she could be living peacefully and somehow danger's gonna find her. So she just always becomes this damsel in distress.
I hope in later seasons she becomes powerful, or she gains some kind of, she gets a really good story where she could fight.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get it here.
No.
I do wish we would have gotten a backstory for her. I really feel like there is something, because she had one of my favorite parts in the beginning where Mash comes back to help her. And she says, why did you come back to help me even though I'm here to make you fail? And he said, well, maybe your reasons are similar to my reasons. And then I don't know why he said that. And then he said, and I feel sorry for you if it is. So I do wish he had just a backstory. Maybe that would have helped a lot. But someone who did have a good backstory that I did enjoy is Lance Crown. That is a character that I'm like, okay, we flushed you out. You had a great story. And then you become like this weirdo for the rest of the season.
Well, he's one that I truly thought, okay, now this guy's going to be the enemy. Because it's another one of those situations where this guy comes in and just, oh, no, we're fighting. Like, come on. And so I'm thinking, like, okay, this is the enemy then. But then same thing happens, and he's like, no, we're friends. But I thought he was kind of an interesting one because, am I correct that he's one of the two Mark ones?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's supposed to be one of these, like, higher class, more prestigious guys. Because in this show, your kind of prestigiousness is based on the number of marks you have or, like, the number of, what, silver coins, gold coins, things like that. These all kind of determine your value and your level. And so he's born with the two marks, which means he's supposed to be like a higher level magic user. And so then when he kind of steps to Mash, I'm like, oh no, like this guy's going to be trouble because he hasn't fought like a two mark guy yet. But here all of a sudden they have a fun fight. And then Mash is like, so are we friends? He's like, what? No. He's like, come on. Like they just end up becoming friends through the fight.
I enjoy Lance a lot. I enjoy Lance. He is a great character. He brings the power that this group really needs. With it, he is great in class. He's a two mark, like you said. The sister thing is really, it's very sweet, and then it's like very strange.
I'm just thinking like Black Clover. Don't touch Marie.
This is kind of what I wanted from all the other characters, though. Gosh, I can't. Well, the season is only 13 episodes? 12 episodes?
Yeah, it's
12 or 13 episodes. So I guess we can't really get a backstory for everyone. But I did enjoy Lance's story where we find out that at the end of the day, it's basically Mash's story. His sister has lost her magic abilities. And in this world, if you don't have magic powers, you're murdered, which is very horrible.
Yeah.
And his parents want to, I guess, murder his, or not murder. Is it still murder if it's like legal? They want to execute his sister.
They want to execute. Yeah. There we go.
They want to execute his sister. And he does not want that, so he's trying to become a divine visionary so he can change how everything is, which is basically the same reason Mash wants to become a divine visionary. They just don't know that they have the same goal yet.
Yeah, I appreciated that they gave him a goal and a little backstory because I feel like that's one of the things we were missing in the show, like you said, and we all kind of need like a reason for what we're doing. And so just when these characters are going to resonate with you, whether the creator wants them to resonate in a good way or a bad way, it usually comes from like their tragic upbringing. And so Lance didn't necessarily have one, but like you said, with his sister and everything going on, like he wanted to protect her and he wants to change the rules so that way it doesn't have to be that way anymore. And so he has like a really good motive, but he just came off so angry. But then I love the whole exchange between him and Mash when their fight's going on, because they got in close with the action and then his necklace fell off. And so he has like a little locket necklace with a picture of his sister. And Mash opens it up. He's like, oh gosh, like, do you have a kid complex? He's like, what? No, it's not like that. He's like, it's my sister. He's like, I don't think that's any better. Like, he's like, it's not like that.
Oh yeah. But I mean, it's not like that. But
Mash
is
like, are you
weird.
A pervert? Like,
yeah. It is. It is an interesting trait to give Lance. It's, it's really the only thing that makes him break character. And it is weird that no one knew about it until this moment. It just feels like after we find out about it, it happens all the time where something about his sister that sends him off. And he's a great character. I would say he's probably one of my favorite characters in the show just because he was given a backstory and some motive. I know I'm anti-filler episode. Well, I'm not really. I love a filler. Actually, I'm pro-filler. But It is weird that we didn't get any backstory or kind of any really motive for any of the other characters in the show except for MASH and Lance.
I mean, there really wasn't time. It's like the first episode kind of set up the problem. The next four episodes set up the side characters. And then it's like the next six was like the lemon retrieval arc. Like, it's all about, okay, now let's do it.
But in that sense, in that again, Abyss in the lemon retrieval arc part of the show, he got his own backstory.
That's true, actually.
It's just, I wonder if there's more in the manga that just didn't make it into the show. 13 episodes, this feels kind of light, but still, to give me a little interest. I feel like Finn really needed it. If anyone needed it, Finn really needed something.
Yeah.
I think that wraps up our main guys. Are there any sub characters you want to talk about, or we can just discuss them in our favorite moments so they pop up?
The only one that I want to touch on, I know I have them in my favorite moments, but mm-hmm. Abyss Razor. And so this is the one we kind of talked about. Does have a little bit of a backstory, and so just something about Abyss that interested me, because Abyss kind of started off like the bad guy, and you know that was going to be the bad guy, and so they're just going through their fight and everything, and then there gets to that point where MASH starts to overcome him a little bit, and then he's just got his tragic backstory and gives the whole spiel of it, and MASH is like, yeah, I don't really care, like, are we still friends or are we not friends? He's like, no, we can't be friends right now. And MASH is like, well, that stinks, but then doesn't really pursue it much. And so I think Abyss, once we get more into Abyss's backstory later, I think that'll be one to kind of bring some interest. But I do have that in my favorite moments, so I can save my excitement for then.
I'll go over some of my few favorite moments. There aren't many other, the side characters I really talked about, like Brad from the beginning, who kind of just, okay, well, I'll just jump into my favorite moments. I think that'll be the best, because I was just gonna talk about Brad and MASH's dad, because it's one of my favorite parts when they disguise themselves as bushes, but they're not really disguised.
Not disguised at all.
Yeah, they're just kind of wearing, what was it, like black leotards and holding sticks with leaves on them. And they're just out in the open.
But MASH would never know.
MASH didn't know, but everyone else noticed them. MASH's dad, I really loved a lot. Just the way in the first episode MASH's dad got a backstory too, because we find out that he's really bad at magic and that he was about to end his life, and then he finds MASH as a baby, and that gives his life purpose, and he raises MASH, which I feel that's very sweet. So I really love that. MASH's dad, a fun character, yet we don't ever really see him a lot in the show.
No, you get some humor with them, some seriousness, but it's all limited to, like, maybe a whole episode's worth, and then it's, like, small glimpses throughout it. Kind of like you're talking about, like, in that little chibi form, something pops up, just, like, a little funny moment. That's all we get from him, like, the rest of the series.
I think another one of my... just another moment that I really enjoyed was when MASH was getting sorted into the schools. I don't know if you remember where the unicorn... So, in Harry Potter, you got the sorting hat. And in this world, we have a unicorn, and you touch its horn, and it sorts you. And MASH touched his horn, and the unicorn was like, there's only thoughts of cream puff in this child's mind. How do I sort him into a house? And the unicorn comes up with some convoluted way of how cream puffs are about harmony and how the filling goes into every crevice and whatnot. So that's how MASH gets sorted into his house. Well, I think the house is called Adler, into Adler House. And I just, I really enjoyed that moment. Yeah, I think those are a couple. Well, another, I know you really like this character, so I'm going to say it for you, but like, I love the, I want to call it Quidditch, but it's not Quidditch. It's, now I can't remember the name, even though I just said it.
Duello,
yeah, the Duello coach. So, but those are a couple of my favorite moments. What were some of yours?
So I think it starts off with Tom here. So Tom Knowles is our Duello pro, and I said, you know, you got to forget Chihuahua, you got to bamboo it. So this guy's like, listen, man, we got to be like bamboo. Like, we got to be strong, we got to be stout. We can't break when we bend. He said, we just got to be like bamboo. And so, like, no matter what they're going through in this, he's like, come on, brah. Let's do it, brah. You got to bamboo it, brah. And just, like, nonstop. And you're just like, who the heck is this guy? Because it starts off, he has this little menacing persona to him. So you're just like, oh, no, like, this guy's top brass. Like, everybody fears this guy. Everybody wants to be this guy. And then he's like, you and me, brah, we're going to own the Duello tournament. And so he's just... I liked him a lot because he just had that little funny aspect to him. But in that same episode was one of my favorite magic moments of MASH's. And so just when they're in this tournament, MASH is like, yeah, I don't really know what's going on. He said, I mean, I guess I'll play. I'll help you out. Sure. And so then Tom's supposed to be like top Duello guy, but then they're facing like this really cocky team that kind of has a little bit to them, and they scored on him, and then they talked bad on MASH, and then he just all of a sudden like, give me the ball. So then MASH uses his quote unquote magic power here to learn to fly. And so he jumps up on a broom, kicks his feet as fast as he can, and here he is flying now. And he just sat there and put on the Quidditch game of his life, just 999 goals, as many as it would go on the screen, and just overcame it. He just like completely won. The guy's like, dude, you're epic, brah. You're my best friend. Like, you and me are partners for life.
I love that Tom is just, every time he comes up to MASH, he's like, well, you said you would help me do this. MASH's like, I never said that.
But no, my next couple more moments, I think it kind of went with that maybe sorting house or something else somewhere around there. But they asked MASH, they're like, what's the most precious thing in this world to you? And they're supposed to, you know, they're expecting like, oh, you know, family, friends, love. He says, cream puffs. They're like, what? No. He's like, oh, I had no other idea, because just cream puffs like 100% all the time.
Yeah, isn't that when he's fighting Lance the first time? And Lance is like, what is important in this world? And he's like, cream puffs.
Cream puffs?
No. I think he says it twice. He's like, cream puffs? And it's like, no. Family? No. Cream puffs?
I thought that was good. Another big moment. We talked about it with Dot. Just his determination. And so one thing that I do love about Dot, and that cracked me up with him a lot, we didn't really mention it earlier, but he has this big hatred for like pretty boys. And so Dot, you know, chivalrous as he is, he wants to help this lady. He wants to help the girls. He wants to win them over with his heart and his strength and things like that. But then like whenever he sees like a pretty boy, he's like, do you have a fan base to you? Like, do you have fanboys? And they're like, I guess. He's like, then I'm going to kill you. Like, he just hates these pretty people. He's like, I hate how you pretty people think that you just get everything for free. You don't have to work for anything. The girls just love you because you're beautiful. He just like has this little hatred, but he does have his determination to it. And that's what my big moment's about, is just he takes those 10 tough iron fists and like tries to keep going and finally kind of blacks out. But then MASH does it. You know, he's like, I'll take the hits then. I mean, we expect him to be able to, but Dodd is like a real person. Like, he actually feels pain and he can lose. And so I thought it was interesting that that's kind of when MASH stepped in, was like, no, like, I'll take these hits, you know, hit me instead. And then I just left out, I put a little note about the cream puff toss in the enemy's mouth when like they're just about to the end of the fight and the guy's just like yelling or like talking smack to him, and then MASH just like throws a cream puff in his mouth. He's like, cream puff? That cracked me up.
MASH is always, I feel like that's the loving part of MASH though. He's like, everyone deserves a cream puff, no matter enemy, friend. We can all be settled with this confectionery treat.
Speaking of those cream puffs, there was one episode where they're sinking in quicksand and he has this little like cream puff version of a lemon. And this is like, he's just protecting this thing. And anytime that they're talking about, we've got to do this, guys, like, we got to get to the next step, he just like pulls us out and like looks at this cream puff. He's like, yes, we have to do this. So then he's just like treating this cream puff like it's actually lemon. And then when he's sinking in the quicksand, everyone's like, oh no, we're sinking, oh no. And he just like holds it up. He's like, I'm sinking, save my baby. And just like holds up the cream puff.
I remember that was such a funny moment. Everyone's panicked and MASH is just like, here, take this, save this.
And then I think the last thing I put on my list over here for like favorite moments, it was like the first real action. I mean, we had a couple small bits of action. I'd say the Iron Fist guy was probably some actual action, but this is the first time that we see MASH getting into a fight that you think maybe he can't win. Like, it's the first time he seems human. And so it's just, this guy has this accelerating ability, Abyss Razor. It's just kind of like he drops these arrows on the ground and then he can accelerate through them. So then it's kind of hard to really tell what he can do or what's going on. But once MASH figures it out, he's always been like the fastest guy. Like no one can miss his punches. Even when he's got that gravity spell on him, he's still overcoming it and still making these fights happen. But then I thought the fight was so interesting because he was just getting his butt whooped. He's getting cut all to heck and bleeding everywhere. But then he just decides, no, I can do this. And he just like, what'd he do? Like punch the ground or something and then made this giant like little abyss thing. And so then it's like, what? Why are we down here? Like, this doesn't make any sense. But then that's when he learned he could fight the guy. So he like dropped it all the way down so they were under that gravitational spell and he could actually sit there and like throw a full force punch. But then, you know, you talked about his absolute strength and he had this whole moment where he took a whole like sword or something through the gut and then they're just like, oh no, like Mash is in trouble. And then the guy's like, I can't pull it away, what's going on? Because he just like flexes his abs on it so he can punch him in the face. But I just love, like, there was a good story point to him of his backstory is very much he's strong, but he's so ostracized by magic users because he has this eye. And what's the eye do? Like, nullifies your magic ability or something?
Yeah, it can cancel your magic powers.
Yeah, and so a lot of people fear him for that eye. So that's just not something that you want in a big character like that. But Mash is like, listen, like, I didn't have magic either. Said, I'm ostracized just the same. So it's one of those moments where you're kind of looking at it like, some people have just some crappy upbringings. It's like, what are you going to do with it? So then I like that because Mash, he's very much like, he's embracing the suck and he's just going ahead and he's overcoming what he needs to. But Abyss Razor is kind of like, no, the world hates me. Like the world needs to pay. And then after kind of dealing with Mash, he's like, whoa, like, you know, we can't be friends. I'm still damaged goods. We can't be friends. But kind of starts to realize that life doesn't have to be that awful for you.
I did love that Mash said, when we are friends, though, we'll have. Did he say we'll have a cream puff together or we'll have a meal together? Yeah. I don't know if it was a cream puff specifically or a meal, but
I think it's always cream puff.
I would lean more towards the cream puff than anything. That he was like, when we do become friends, we will share a cream puff together. Abyss Razor, like another great character who got a backstory that I feel like if you get a backstory, you're going to, it notches you up 10 spots already.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that, it just, like, Abel also got a backstory. Abel Walker, who is the puppet master guy who is the leader of the, I forgot whatever that group's house is called, but Abyss is on right. their team. And then we find out that he's only evil because his mom was killed by, like, helping the less fortunate, and she was murdered. And that's why he wants to become Divine Visionary. Even though his intentions are not pure. He kind of wants to divide the lower class and upper class even more because he thinks the lower class are dangerous. But then that is shattered by him meeting Mash, who proves that there are good people. You know, people who are less fortunate have great intentions still.
And he was one of those characters that, like, you couldn't tell whether you wanted to hate him or love him. And so obviously his intentions are crap, but at the same time, it's like, he's seen all this stuff happen to his mom and he saw how like dark the world was to her on behalf of the lower class because she did always want to help others. And he's like, well, if you guys didn't exist, like she would have never died, things like that. He had a kind of crap situation and it turned him the wrong way. So I think given different circumstances, maybe he could have turned out better, but he's one of those bad guys that you don't necessarily hate. I mean, his intentions are crap, like we said, but it's hard to hate him.
I mean, once you learn who he imprisoned all those students. When we meet him, all
bad,
the students are like puppetized on the ceiling.
But did they die though? Like,
yeah, I guess they did. Oh, that's the other thing, man. I feel like everyone should have died in this show. The amount of blood loss in this show is just—it's saying that no one is dead.
They have infinite blood supply. It says magic.
I don't know if this happened. I feel like Doc gets hit a lot in the head. And just gusher of blood comes out of him. And it's just like, oh, this guy's dead. But no, they always stand up and they seem kind of fine. So, but yeah, Abel, Abyss, they had really great stories that made you feel like, oh, well, now they're not villains. They're just misled people. And Mash turned them both around. Mash really pulled it together at the end and saved. What was it? Was Abyss dying?
I think it was.
Yeah, Abyss got hit. Yeah, and then he was protecting them. So, yeah, there's some really great characters in this. It just, I feel like we need a little more development from our main crew.
Yeah, I wonder why they gave so many backstories to the
villains
instead of like the people who we probably needed them more. Like,
yeah,
that was an interesting tactic.
What are some of the takeaways you took from the show or this season?
I think my biggest takeaway was like, it was kind of a big Black Clover-esque episode thing to me. So like the theme was similar, which I enjoyed. And I thought about it quite a bit. It's just, you don't let anybody define you what you're capable of. Like in my personal life right now, my big theme is like raising the bar and not letting somebody else decide your potential or what you're going to do, because one person's perception of what you can do and what you're going to do is completely different than what you're actually capable of. And so I did love the big theme of not letting anybody define you what you're capable of. It's like, he could have been dead episode one as a baby, but he had the circumstances, somebody helped him, and he rose above it all. And so I thought it was also a big theme of when you have something or someone that's like precious to you, defend it at all costs, especially cream puffs. No matter what, above all, cream puffs.
The big takeaway from this show is just cream puffs. Grab yourself a cream puff. Yeah, it's very similar to me that it's just protecting those who are supportive of you. And then I guess just gravitating. Don't let outside people who hate on you draw you in, or don't let that be your focus. There are people who are your cheerleaders and people who are supporting you out there. And those are the people you need to stand with and stand next to. And yeah, I just feel like MASH was that positive energy rod that all these people needed to like help themselves. Absolutely. Or see their true light. But like every episode, we have to give season one of MASH on Magic and Muscle a rating. So what is your rating of this season, Seth?
So just a reminder for those who don't remember the scale. The top, we have Chef's Kiss. You know, this is our delicious 6-star. It's that amazing. We have Mouthwatering, which, you know, it's just a step below it. Then we have Satisfying, which is where I landed this. So I landed Satisfying. You know, we have the description. It's a solid good meal, no complaints. You're happy with your choice, but it's not going to blow your mind. And so I kind of put some notes, like, it was a fun watch. It had lots of comedy. It had some character goals, but not a ton of character development, which I love in an anime. We had our side characters. A couple of them stepped up, but for the most part, a lot of them just kind of either stayed the same or were already what they were supposed to be. So to me, keeping the food aspect to it, it felt like spaghetti night. You know, sometimes you're satisfied when you make your own spaghetti, but you've had better. Your best friend might love your spaghetti. Your next friend might hate it. It's spaghetti. It's up and down, but it's not really a favorite. I think it's worth the watch. I'm not sure I'd be able to rewatch it unless we got some more seasons, but I think it was fun to watch it at least once. But I feel like I've seen all that it really has to offer.
Oh, wait, for me, so my rating has definitely, not that my rating has changed, but just how I rate the shows in my heart. I don't know if anyone's listened to our Godzilla episode, but I felt really bad at the end when I rated it garbage disposal. But, you know, I got to be true to myself. And for a MASH on Magic and Muscle, I rated this a, now I'm second guessing myself. But you know what? I'm going to stick with it. I rated this a Mouthwatering. I really enjoyed the season. Like
what?
I said, I binged it all the way through. See, you're giving me the same thing when I rated Godzilla. A garbage disposal and karma went off on me. Like, what? I'm shocked. I think after the episode aired, she was asking me like, whoa, you were so hyping it up. And then you just told people it was garbage. That's how I felt right now when you said that. But I did binge the first season all the way through. I do enjoy it. It is not one that I go back and watch episodes of. So it's really hard. I really do wish there was in-betweens, but I'm very a proponent of you got to stick with that category.
It's so mouth-wateringly satisfying.
Yeah. It's just I don't have the desire to go back to watch certain episodes. There are moments where I'm like, oh, that was funny. I really enjoyed that. But there's so much anime out there. I'm watching so much anime these days. So It's just hard to want to go back to this to enjoy in my downtime. But I did enjoy it a lot when I watched it the first two times. So I'm going to say it's a mouthwatering. I definitely think it's worth the watch. If you kind of trying to figure out what to watch next, or you have a little downtime or in between seasons of your show, this is a really good quick watch. It's 13 episodes. It's not going to really kill you. So for me, it's a mouthwatering.
Yeah, and if you've ever wanted to watch One Punch Man but can't get through it, this might be your cup of tea. Like,
yeah, and I will say, though, I don't know if describing it as like Harry Potter of anime, because it did really give me, after watching it all, I didn't really get the vibes. But if you want something with kind of magic in it, and it's like a little fun, then this is your cup of tea. Though there are so many, now I'm just like, there's so many other good magic anime out there, and maybe we'll cover them on the show. But those are just our opinions, but we'd love to hear what y'all thought of the season. So please leave us a comment telling us your favorite moments, your favorite characters, what you would rate the show. You can find us You can find us at Anime Bento Pod, and you can find me at Jimsta2.
And as always, it's such a blast getting to chat with you, Jimmy, and getting to really talk to the fans of more than anything. I think I enjoy really kind of getting our voice out there and just enjoying our love and our experiences with others. Like I said, I did add a social media on here, so if you guys want to follow along on Instagram at SethWareUpdate, I'll start putting some little pictures, some conversation points, things like that, and we can just keep the conversation flowing.
Awesome, and that's all for this week's episode. So now, oh my gosh, I can't talk this week. And that's all for this week's episode. So until next time, stay legendary.
Stay nerdy, folks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.